Welcome to 2-Bit Encryption, the officially unofficial podcast for Mr. Robot on USA. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we're here today after 12 years? I don't know. It's been a long, it feels like a really long time.
Since just before Christmas in 2015.
Right. Since before the economy it turned to eCoin, Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And we're back to talk about a season 4 preview. Do a season 4 preview of Mr. Robot. Catch everybody up. Kind of where season 3 was, because you probably need it. I know I did. And talk about what we think is in store for season 4. Aaron, are you ready for a sort of refresher?
I am ready.
I know you saw a few episodes.
I did. I listened to our last the coverage of episode 10 of last season, which is kind of also our wrap up podcast.
Yeah.
And also, any interested fans, if you have an Amazon Prime subscription, you can watch all of the 3 seasons for free.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not a lot of time left to get all that stuff in.
Nope.
You do have some time to watch probably the last season. Be pretty mm-hmm. easy gold. A couple episodes a day until Sunday night.
Yeah, I watched the last 3 of last season again, and I feel like I got pretty well caught up. It refreshed my memory.
I forgot how bananas that last episode was.
Everything that I remembered from season 3 happened in that episode.
Yeah, except for the one take hack heist. Yes. In episode 5, I think. But yeah.
I didn't see that one, so it must have been early.
Yeah.
So let's talk about where we left off. The big development, I think, from season 3 is that E-Corp's files have been unencrypted and presumably restored by them. It looks like, based on the previews that I've seen, things are relatively back to normal. You don't necessarily have the armed guards in the streets, as far as I could tell. People
Martial
are ice skating.
Martial law is not declared, yeah.
Right, a Rockefeller Center. Like, everything seems to have gone back to a sort of normal due to Elliot unencrypting all those files for
How long has it been since the... So it's been 5-9 hacks, so it's been about 6 months.
It's still 2015. I think all of this takes place in 2015.
Yep.
The season 4 is going to take place over a week in
Christmas.
I just wonder,
this is like, if you're unfamiliar with our podcast, I came up with an acronym called TOTDAB, which
right.
is the one thing that drives myself batshit crazy. Uh-huh. And that is that I felt like SMAIL's not done a great job of realistically depicting the carnage that would happen in America if suffered a complete financial collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And that might trigger my TOTDAB a little bit if things just rapidly return to normalcy. Like, if maybe this was a weekend or a week kind of disruption, but like this long where nobody knows how much money they have and how much money they owe. And even I felt like the last episode, the postscript to it, where, you know, Darlene is talking to this Marxist theorist on the street and basically saying, there was good things about the 5-9 hack and bad things about it. And one of the things I'm afraid of is just like the 5-9 hack played into White Rose's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And was the disruption she needed to kind of like trigger some of her in-game moves. I wonder if this late in the game, reversing it is just going to... You know, she was bearish at first. Now she's going to be bullish, and she'll end up owning the whole world.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Elliot, you know, in the form of Mr. Robot, kept a sort of failsafe for the original hack, the 5-9 hack, and it turned out he needed to use it because it had unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. So, could you know the reversal of that also have the same? Yeah, I think it's totally possible.
Yeah.
We also know that Mr. Robot and Elliot have kind of had a coming together at the end of this last season, and we're probably going to see them working together against White Rose to take her and you know, the likes of her down, right? Like Philip and all those people. The people, the 1% of the 1% who are pulling the strings. I'm super excited about like that. This is this is like a return to season 1, mm-hmm. where we saw Elliot as the master hacker. He was the one pulling the strings. And also he's even more superpowered now, because I feel like Mr. Robot is a part of him that he needs to become, you know, truly the master hacker. And
yeah.
This is a power fantasy I can get behind. Like,
right.
You know, being Gandalf, being some wizard or something, that's not really what I'm into. But mm-hmm. this techno power fantasy... Man, I'm so in for this.
It is very, very, I mean, it's funny you mentioned that because, yeah, it's very Gandalf the White. You got Mr. Robot the White. You know, he's gone through a death and rebirth experience in the last 2 seasons, and now he's fused with his alternative persona and working together cooperatively. So you're right. It's evil Superman and good Superman joining forces to be a complete Superman.
Yeah.
Which is all there. It's all there subtext and textually. It's pretty exciting.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
And the other thing that maybe we could look at and say, okay, where are the unintended consequences? Elliot gave White Rose a victory at the end of last season by opening, you know, the floodgates to the Congo, which is the one thing that her sidekick, lover, some her previous Bobby Cannavale could not do for her. So, you know, her plan is back on, whatever it is. And Elliot's, it's probably going to be a race against time. The stakes, maybe in more ways than one.
There's so many trailers to watch, and not just trailers, but like Sam Esmail did like a 7-minute catch up for people. There was another one narrated by Joey Badass.
Yeah, go to their YouTube channel because they have all that
so
stuff there.
So many
it's
different
really
ones, like recaps from different characters' perspectives. But one of the things I got from, I think, the latest trailer was that, you know, Elliot was saying in voiceover that White Rose could destroy the entire world, kill everyone in the world, like, or a race against time, like their lives are on the line. And I didn't get that it was like, you know, Chinese mercenaries and devil masks show up and shoot them. Mm-hmm. It's more like there's some kind of global threat, this Congolese, this power plant in New York state. These are all connected and they're doing, I mean, they've dropped heavy hints. There's some weird sci-fi shit happening here.
Yeah, potential time travel.
Potential time. And
Angela's storyline seems to be all about that.
And honestly, it feels like we've gone through a little bit of like a virtual time travel because, like, you know, people said there's one of the complaints is like, well, everything is like what was the last three seasons for if we're just going to hit the reset button? It's just like any time travel story where a person goes back, like, you know, the last Avengers movie, Harry Potter, Prisoner of Azkaban. It's like, yes, you are now back in time, but you know new things about yourself. You know new things about how the future is going to go. You know your enemies better. You know which allies you can trust. And, you know, Elliot going through the reset button is kind of done that sort of time travel, only there's more stakes because a lot of his allies are dead. A lot of his enemies are dead too, so like it's I think it's pretty dismissive to say that like it was just a reset and the last few seasons are worthless, because again you know, Elliot went from this split persona at war itself to, you know, completely unified.
And I think it's taught us as an audience that the tools that Elliot had at the beginning were inadequate for the job,
right?
And that using those same tools is not going to work, which gets me excited about this season, because he's got to find a new way. He's got to improvise, right?
Right. And he's going to have less support and less planning. Yeah. It's going to be very things on the run.
Don't know that we needed season two, but okay.
I mean...
I'm kidding. I'm just poking the season two loving bear.
I think that you could take the previous two seasons and turn them into a really kick-ass 15-episode single season. Now, I think it's interesting that, because I had a few worries, because I just dismissed everybody's concerns about, the reset. But I do feel like that there is a little concern that Esmail kicked anything to do with, like, any kind of hints of what White Rose was up to this season, because I really feel like deep down he wasn't quite sure. He wasn't sure. He either didn't know what it was. It was this MacGuffin, and he didn't know, or he didn't feel confident in the end game, and he wanted a little bit of time in the offseason to kind of noodle with it and try some things. And honestly, anytime I get hints from the creator that they don't know where they're going and they're kind of shuffling their feet and stalling, that's a cause for concern. But I read the I forget who wrote it on Variety, but they've seen like the first, I think, 3 or 5 episodes. Mm-hmm. And there's one sentence in that review that says the season 4 is told with a typical confidence and flair, but with a new note of humility. That is very encouraging to me, because you saw his second show, or I think it's a second show, Homeland, in its entirety, and you recommended it to me, and I saw like I think half of the first season, and you mentioned that like it felt like Esmail had all of his Mr. Robot shtick, like all of the visual flair and the weird shot angles and the super long takes and all this artistic flair, but like it was all dialed in and felt a lot tighter. And to me, that just shows a guy's growing as a storyteller. Yeah. And this review from Variety tells me that like he's going to take all the maturation that he kind of learned, like, that he earned and learned in Mr. Robot, and he brought the Homeland back around to Mr. Robot. And that's got me very excited. That's the thing that got me the most excited, the idea that some of the more arrogant, or not arrogant, arty farty, art for art's sake stuff is going to be toned down, because I like art for art's sake, but sometimes it can suffocate a story. And I felt like there was points in season two where it really came in danger of doing that. And even in the end of season one, you could kind of feel it losing a little bit of steam.
Yeah, to the detriment of some of the characters. Like, I did not feel like I had a good grasp on Angela's character.
I think you still hate Angela, right?
I think she's been very strangely written. Written in a way that I can't identify with. I can't understand. But I do think season three was the beginning of Esmail going, okay, maybe I shouldn't go this far with my indulgences.
Right.
In the, like you said, artsy fartsy stuff. But I don't know. I think I'm super excited for season four if it's anything like season three was, because I think we both very much viewed season three as a return to form for Mr. Robot.
Season three is one of the best things on that year.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited. I don't mind Angela. It's interesting that she's almost entirely absent from any of the promotional.
Well, where
I think she's in
where
one
is she
shot
left
in
here?
One of the trailers.
Yeah, like, I mean, she found out that Philip is her father, right? And that kind of crushed her worldview, destroyed her faith in White Rose.
I mean, she's Luke Skywalker in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, so now she, I guess, has to become the hero.
Or she, I don't know. I mean, I think it's, but a lot of people are thinking that she's going to be killed very early on in the season, or there's going to be something that sidelines her. I just want to remind everybody that Tyrell Wellick was not in any of the season three trailers or promotions, and he fit in very heavily into that third season. So this show is all about misdirection and surprising the viewer. It would not surprise me at all if the lack of Angela is part of that. But also wouldn't surprise me if there's no footage of her because she dies in the first 5 minutes.
So let's talk about one of the things. I suppose it's another catch-up thing. Vera is back. This is like maybe the least interesting thing they could have done, in my opinion. He is such a minor threat to maybe personally he's a threat to Elliot, but globally he's not a threat at all. Right. So like if we're telling the story of Vera killing Elliot, we've gone way overboard with telling that story, right? We didn't need 4 seasons of shit to tell that story. We could have done it in 2 episodes. So they're not going to tell that story, obviously.
Yeah, what?
Why is Vera a factor in any of this?
Not only is he a factor, he's got, like, the Thanos spot in the after-credit scene.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, this is where Thanos leans in from the shadows and steeples his fingers. And, like, is he that fucking important?
I didn't think so. I still don't think
like,
so.
The other, when you compare that to the other post-credit scenes, it's very bizarre because yeah. it didn't tell us anything new about White Rose. I'm guessing that he's going to be hijacked by the Dark Army because it seems like they might need a lot of more manpower after.
Oh, he's the new Leon.
Yeah,
like because Leon's basically on Elliot's side.
Yeah, he might have just taken out all of their best assets in North America.
Yeah, fair.
So like maybe they're getting new muscle, but I just think this guy's an idiot. Like,
yeah, he's got this weird like
he was portrayed as
spiritual...
a mid-level drug dealer mm-hmm. with like some Silicon Valley pretensions of grandeur.
Yeah.
And how the fuck would he be useful? I mean, he could just be a threat, you know? Like, He's the boiling pot of water that Darlene's going to find herself into. He has mm-hmm. nothing to do with the plot. He's just a threat. He's just something that distracts from the things they need to do, which
yeah.
that's fine.
Yeah, it would be a shame if, you know, Darlene gets taken by Vera and she's just a hostage for the first half of the season because I really like
right.
Darlene. I think she had a lot of good stuff to do last season.
Right.
And she's kind of her story in season 3. It did what it needed to do. It ran its course. Like,
so it's very
where they're taking her, I have no idea.
He's like the neo-Nazis from the last season of Breaking right. Bad. It's like, comes out of left field, hijacks one mm-hmm. of the co-main characters, takes him off the board for most of the season to let the main character really shine. And
yeah.
That actually sounds like a pretty great idea to really even further isolate Elliot, except... Mm-hmm. So one of the notes I saw in the reviews that have seen a lot of episodes is the fact that Elliot, while still a central character, is not nearly the focus as he was in other seasons.
Right.
Which to me says there's going to be a big roles for Darlene. There's going to be big roles for Grace Gummer's character, Dom. And there's going to be a big role probably for Angela if she survives.
If she's there, yeah.
And I just don't, because they've built up her, like, Angela, angelic. She's always wearing white, and Darlene being, like, with the devil horns. And like, there's got to be something more to what they've done. Establishing her as the, you know, scion of the, you know, like you said, the Darth, she's Luke Skywalker of Empire. So she just realized mm-hmm. her father's Darth Vader. To me, there's enough great characters. You got Bobby Cannavale.
Yeah,
I forget his
name. Who says he's going on sabbatical? Who knows if he'll show up in this season?
Well, he might have thought that when you know, the other guy blew his brains out, and I could see like intro scene of like him in the sandals resort, uh-huh. and he's writing his chapter, and he's on the beach, and he's got, you know, a cocktail in one hand, and he gets a phone call.
He's just about to start writing his book. Yeah,
yeah. Like, she was hilarious. Good with it before all that stuff happened, but now she needs him back. What's he going to do? Say no, the White Rose.
Yeah, so we're going to get like an Ocean's 11 style.
Just when he thought, just
putting
when he thought
together
he was
the
out.
Crew kind yeah. of thing. We're going to get Bobby Cannavale from the beach. We're going to get Vera from the
wherever
the borough, whatever
yeah.
borough he's in.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I could see it. I don't know if that's what I want, but we'll see.
Yeah. No, I definitely would like to see his character back.
I'm super curious what they're going to do with Dom, because Dom has been pressured at this point into potentially working with the Dark Army as, you know, she's the new Santiago. Will she tolerate that? Will she work behind the scenes against them? You know, how much is she going to fight back against the role that she's been forced into?
I think a lot. I think
so too.
Unlike the other guy who seemed like he bought into the weaselly nature almost immediately.
Yeah.
I think that she's going to, the very first time White Rose takes her eye off her ball, mm-hmm. she's going to go fucking rogue.
And Elliot's aware of her presence now, has direct knowledge of her, not just, oh, it's Darlene's contact in the FBI. So there could be, even if Darlene is taken out of the picture somehow, mm-hmm. Elliot could also still go to her. And then push her toward that direction.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, one of the things we spent a lot of our time talking on our final season 3 podcast was how hard it is to corrupt the FBI as an institution. You know, we're talking about
okay.
like how much vetting that they go through, and you know mm-hmm. how their calling is like the cop of the United States, and it, turns out we found that you just need 3 years, a historically corrupt president, an attorney general whose last time he's in office helped cover up the Iran-Contra affair, and boom, pretty much job complete. So it's like, I wonder, and I, you know, I get from Sam Esmail's Twitter feed and interviews that if he was angry at the way things were before, he's like beyond the fucking pissed now. And I'm sure. really curious to see how much of this, interdepartmental wars that we see going on in the executive branch of the United States is going to be reflected in the show, because, there's so much hay you could make there.
Yeah. And they've always, taken shots at the administration to be in the time of like season one and stuff.
And fair shots at the administration it was.
Like, yeah.
Barack Obama is by no means a perfect president.
No, for sure. I'm sure they'll lean harder into that even this season.
I'm excited. Well, I've got bittersweet feelings about Mr. Robot running up right up the Christmas season because, number one, it's making there's so many shows doing that this year. It's making our lives as podcasters about television hell.
Yeah.
But I do love Christmas. And one of the sometimes underappreciated aspects of Christmas is its capacity for like darkness or sorrow, and like you hear that reflected in like the Bing Crosby classic I'll Be Home for Christmas, about a soldier who wants to be at home with his family but he can't. Dolly Parton's Hard Candy Christmas. Last year I discovered Tracy Thorne's Joy, which is a real kick in the Christmas nuts, then it's a real nutcracker, if you would. And there is like I like the idea of Christmas, which at its best is about, love and joy and peace, but at its worst is about crass commercialism and the fact that like, you're supposed to be given presents, but you can't afford them. And if if someone dies or lose your job at Christmas, it's the worst fucking time ever. And I feel like there's a real, real powerful ability for Mr. Robot to tap into that pathos.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm ready for it, but I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the setting does.
Yeah, and like I said, I've heard, I think Esmail said this, that the final season is going to take place over a week over Christmas 2015. So it's pretty much all going to be in that, which to me, I think means we have to flash forward a little bit, which makes sense when you're talking about restoring an economy, that right. kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, I don't actually know what period of time we were set. It felt like fall. How things looked at the farm that Bobby Cannavale was chopping wood at.
Yeah.
But yeah, there might be, because if it's going to be in one single week and he's trying to tell the story of the recovery, like it seems like having a couple months where you can just yada yada through.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, everybody got their shit restored, and
I assume that's what they're
some
do.
People lost a lot of money, some people gained a lot of money. I'm curious to see how. But I honestly don't have very high hopes for the world being realistically impacted, because again, the show's really struggled to tell that story outside of just, how it's affecting Elliot and the people around him. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get people staying in lines, bitching about not being able to have money. You see a quick service rib joint charging $50 for an entree, but like, and you see the rich people still having big lavish depression parties on the top of the rooftops.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how they handle all that.
And then the other, I guess, quote that got me intrigued and interested. I can't remember which video it was from, but in one of those recap videos there, or maybe a preview video, it's some lines from season four talking about how there's always another symbol to destroy. Essentially, this is an endless war. Telling Elliot that what he's about to do is crossing a line. Mm-hmm. I don't know what lines he can cross at this point that he hasn't already crossed, but I'm interested to see what those are. But yeah, that idea of this is an endless war that you can fight until you die and it won't make a difference, because even if you succeed in your mission, there will always be somebody ready to take the places of the people that you've knocked down. Mm-hmm. And that's, I wonder what the final message of Mr. Robot is going to be.
I don't know either. Because there's another review to point it out that the 2015 setting is very interesting, because it was kind of like the calm before the storm of the last 3 years. And what is the final message? Like, what is the final message about the state of the world's economics, the state of democracy in the world, the state of like free free exchange of information. I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. We got 12 episodes this year. We'll see what they do with them. At the end of them, I expect it to have some statement, maybe on perhaps the futility of fighting these kinds of systems. Perhaps, more positively, an instruction book on how to do it.
Yeah.
Or at least Esmail's opinion.
Or even inspiration that it can be done is useful right now.
Which is how season one ended, right?
Yeah.
Like, there was a big triumphant moment with Elliot having pulled off the 5-9 hack.
Right.
Actually, maybe it wasn't the end of the season, but there was that one moment where he pulls it off. He's looking around and he raises his arms in the air. Yeah. Yes, I've done it.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine after four seasons of Mr. Robot that we're going to get to one of those moments again, because if anything, the show has taught me that the power structures are so entrenched and so replenishable, I guess. Like the human societies that we've created are set up to replenish those automatically.
Yeah.
Because there's always the incentive to do so,
mm-hmm.
For the people who would do that. So I find it hard to think that there's going to be some huge positive triumphant moment at the end, but maybe
I could see how would you feel if it was like a Watchmen style ending? And if you don't recall, the way the Watchmen ends is essentially Warshak's journal gets dropped off at some crackpot newspaper outfit, and his journal contains the entire truth of what happened in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it's almost like a choose your own adventure. Does that journal get pulled off the crank file and something comes of it? Does it get released and then dismissed by everybody?
It's almost a challenge
thrown into trash
to us, right?
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do with
what
this?
What would you do if you had this information in your hands?
Yeah.
I would, that sounds like a great way to end it, because
I think it's
the
only way to end it, right? Like,
yeah, I don't think
anyone authentic way to end it.
I've been looking for the last couple of years. I don't think anyone has a clear path forward to navigate this like interconnected, social media driven world that we find ourselves. It's like, our ability to process information and flip cash has exceeded our ability to monitor it and keep tabs on it and make sure things are done fairly. And if there was a blueprint for how to fix it, I think, people would be shouting from the rooftops. In fact, there seems like there's like 12 different competing theories on what we could do, and everyone's fragmented amongst those little, that spectrum of opinions. And it's probably, a useful thing for the rich and powerful to keep everybody divided and squabbling.
Yeah. It'd be nice to actually take one of those and test it.
Yeah.
See if it works. If it doesn't,
get everybody
move on to the
next. Behind and try. Yeah, like, let's do some rapid. Like, going back to a program
instead of just arguing over which one to try and never trying any.
Yeah, let's get some rapid iteration in here. It's what's that? Agile. Let's get some agile development methodology. Some waterfalls. I think
Elliot would support that.
Can we get some quarterly scrums going in this democracy?
Right.
So, yeah, that's what we need. Technocracy.
Let's do it. That's about all I got for the season four preview. Anything
we
else
did?
You
I
want
solicited
to talk about?
Some feedback, and I got a couple pieces. One that I want to read here with a little theory. Robot@baldmove.com is how you're going to send us feedback throughout the season, and there'll also be a weekly episode thread over on forums.baldmove.com if you'd like to discuss that with your fellow fans. Haley reached out and said, "I'm on my rewatch of the show, thinking ahead."
Mm-hmm.
She's plowing through it on Amazon, and I think I figured out what's at the Washington Township power plant in season three, or at the very end of season two. We see the Washington Township facility, and my husband pointed out that it looks like a particle accelerator. It all fell into place for me then. I think White Rose is basically doing the plot of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse with alternate dimensions and pulling people into our reality. Also, during the scene, the scientist giving the group the tour talks about alternate dimensions. Finally, the guy alludes to them being at a nuclear power plant, which means they have access both to the large energy production needed and a cover story for the emissions of various types of radiation generated and a particle accelerator, which could explain everyone getting cancer. It's funny because Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse had came out since then, and just a cursory look around their subreddit shows there are a lot of people playing with alternate dimensional theory.
Yeah.
And it's a solid, because, we've talked about time travel and stuff like that, but like, that's you know, the Kingpin strategy of pulling his loved ones out of another dimension. It's a page out of the Rick and Morty playbook,
sure,
which we're also covering. Mm-hmm. And one of the 12 million shows we're doing this this fall and holidays.
Can I pull another one of me out of an alternate dimension to do some of these podcasts?
Can we get six more of us from near touching dimensions so that we can cover all these shows?
I'll accept total financial and societal domination if it will just let me have a couple duplicates.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice. The White Rose, robot at ballmove.com if you want to get in touch. We're flexible.
Okay. Yeah. No, isn't that one of the theories we talked about with...
It might be.
Back
there's
in season
a ton
three?
Like there was so much theory crafting last season. I know there was a little bit like kind of a ba-dum-ba-dum when it turns out it was just Elliot rolling it back. But again, I don't feel like those theories are going anywhere. I just feel like it was kicked to this season.
Right.
Because I don't know. Let me ask you this. Are you going to be disappointed if there is no weird... If like this is just White Rose truly being delusional? She's trying to do something that she can't and is going to destroy the world because it's going to blow up a whole bunch of... It's going to make a dirt... It's going to make like a Chernobyl times a thousand.
Yeah.
Just destroy all of North America with the radiation cloud. Would that be disappointing? Actually, that sounds kind of awesome.
Yeah, not to me. The only way I'll be disappointed is if we don't find out what White Rose's plan is.
Yeah.
I just want to know what she thinks she's going
to
do.
It also doesn't explain like some of the weird shit that went on with Angela late in season two.
Mm-hmm.
And that, although I guess you could explain that just Angela kind of being a little kooky.
Yeah. I mean, and whatever she saw, she turns around pretty quick when Philip says, "I am your father."
Right.
So like, what did you really see?
Well, so, you know, when Obi-Wan tells you lies, and then your dad busts a big one, suddenly you just turn on Obi-Wan.
It's true.
Maybe White Rose can meet her in Dagobah and explain how, hey, look. Okay, from a certain point of view, this looks pretty bad. But have you ever considered my point of view? No, I just thought of that as the idea that she's trying to do something she firmly believes in some kind of pseudoscience is going to destroy the whole world and not accomplish her goal is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I think that could work really well.
Especially like you take an idea of somebody thinking they're doing good, perhaps for an entire group of people, an entire society.
Very Watchmen.
And it turns out, they're actually doing something very bad. And it would mirror, you know, what Elliot went through over the course of these last few seasons and what Angela herself went through, right?
Yeah.
Like all of these things they've done have had unintended consequences. They thought they were doing something right. And I could see that being a statement on powerful people, you know, not necessarily considering that there might be a flaw in their plan.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that they so firmly believe in might not be true.
I mean, that's what you see with a lot of billionaires throwing their weight around the political scene is in the Kochs and the Mercers is like they hold kooky opinions. Mm-hmm. It's just that they have billions of dollars to convince other people of their kooky opinions.
Yeah.
So, you know, it can happen. I do think though that we have to, even if it's some kind of pseudoscience bullshit that gets everybody killed, we have to understand her point of view of what she thinks is going to happen.
That's the only way I'll be disappointed is if we don't get
like
that.
Is it just a MacGuffin and we don't find anything out about it except for that. That would be disappointing.
Yep.
Or alternatively, the other thing is like if it's a pseudoscience thing that just fizzles, like it doesn't kill. Like Elliot thinks it's a world ender, she thinks it's a world ender, but it turns out it's just it's a flux capacitor bullshit kind of thing, and it just doesn't work. That would also be a little anticlimactic.
Yeah, they hit the switch and it all just shuts down.
Yeah, it just doesn't work because it's fake science.
Okay. That could be disappointing, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a pretty wide satisfaction envelope the show can hit, I think. We are glad to have you with us on this final season of Mr. Robot. We will be changing up places. Usually we come back 2 days after it premiered. It dropped on Wednesday, and we had it out on Friday, I think.
Sounds right.
It's switching to Sunday, which we'd normally have things out on Tuesday, But it turns out every fucking thing in the world's coming out on Sunday, and we have don't have time to do them all on Tuesday, so we're kind of staggering it, and Mr. Robot's going to get the Wednesday slot.
Yeah.
So it's gonna come out on Sunday night. We'll have a full in-depth review on it each Wednesday. You can send in your feedback to robot@baldmove.com. Again, forums.baldmove.com is if you want to discuss things with your fellow fans on episode-by-episode basis. I think that's it. That covers it. Follow Bald Move everywhere, @BaldMove on all social media. We'll see you back next week for the first episode, which the other thing I saw right before we started recording this is that Sam Esmail tweeted that he showed his wife, Emily, what's her name? Emily Rossum, the first episode, and she, I guess, shit her pants and went blind. He also said that everyone...
I'm not going to watch it then. I don't want any of that.
True fans of Mr. Robot will want to watch it live because there's massive, massive, huge events that will be spoiled very early on in episodes.
Whoa.
So,
okay.
Yeah, if you're on the West Coast, fuck you, I guess. Stay off all those social medias until you get a chance to see it. Because it sounds like the first episode is going to be a real barn burner.
Nice.
A real world ender. But yeah, we'll see you next week. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See ya.